At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, December 17th, 2018, the Beating the Book podcast. It's Gil Alexander. It is Guessing Lines for week 16 in the NFL. It is our final Guessing Lines show of the year. Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy Andrews. Yeah, I know there's a week 17. We just don't do week 17. We don't do it for Guessing Lines. We don't do it for the Megapod. The reason is week 17 just squirrely, so we stay away from it. We've tried it in years past, and it's just a futile exercise. Typically, even for Guessing Lines, half of the lines aren't even up by the time we do this show. So no Guessing Lines. It'll be Christmas Eve anyway. Enjoy your holidays. But for this week, we are full steam ahead. As always, the show brought to you by thescorex.com, thescorex.com. It's that secret stock market thing I've been talking about for years. The winner of the Beating the Book pool of ScoreXers is going to be on our Megapod Wildcard Week with me, Marco, and Ace. And right now it is profitable in the lead. I am told profitable is a he. I have confirmed that. Profitable, 34.8% up in his portfolio, but the lead is narrowing with two weeks left. Snap Fade right behind, 29.2% up in Snap Fade's portfolio. The Wick at 28.8% up. Top Schleff, 28.2% up in fourth. And J-Bags, 27.8% up. But that lead for profitable ever so slightly shrinking. Only two more weeks. We shall see what happens. It's thescorex.com, thescorex.com. Check it out.
On the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Analytics, statistics, and more are used to win wagers, and Gil has every number you need to cash your tickets. Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game where sports betting analytics live actionable sports betting information right here on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo TV. What's going on here with the old jacket there? All right. Matt Jones is here. What's happening, Matt Jones?
Hello. Happy Monday, Gil.
Matt Jones.
What a wonderful weekend it was.
Mateo.
What
is your Twitter, Matt? What is it?
The Mateo Jones.
Do you like Mateo? I like Mateo.
Yeah. Well, the Matt Jones was taken. Right. When you have a common name like Matt Jones, it's hard to, get your claim in on that kind of stuff.
Right, let's get your parents on that.
Yeah.
Let's take them to test.
Their fault.
All right.
Thanks, Dad.
Matt's
Thanks,
here.
Mom.
That's right. Sorry, didn't mean to go after your parents within 2 seconds of the beginning of the show. Week 16 in the National Football League is in front of us. We will guess the lines with Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy Andrews this morning. Vinny making his way in the studio. Vinny and Chrissy texting back and forth, talking back and forth. They don't text. They talk. And they're coming up with the Week 16 lines that they're posting right now. So Vinny will be with us momentarily here in the studio. And we look forward to that. And, of course, if you're just tuning into Guessing Lines for the first time, this is a tribute to the old Stardust show back in the day with Roxy Roxborough. And in the process of guessing Week 16 lines, we'll also, of course, talk about everything that happened in Week 15 in the National Football League. Just had a chat with Paulie and Mitch about sort of first impressions, and we'll talk about all those things as the show goes on, in case you missed that. David Purdom doing a fine job reporting some of the biggest bets this past weekend regarding the National Football League, and boy, did MGM make hay. MGM took some of the biggest bets that ended up going their way. Took a $500,000 money line bet on the Seahawks to beat the 49ers straight up, according to David Purdom. MGM did here. David also describing, he was also in Pittsburgh, by the way. They had a new legal sports book that opened within walking distance of the Steelers-Pats game. But as far as the bets, Patrick Everson of Covers, he mentions that an MGM bettor came in, bet $180,000 on the Rams money line last night to win $20,000. And MGM in Atlantic City at Borgata took a $115,000 wager on the first half over 26 in the Eagles-Rams game. That ends up pushing. So no harm, no foul on that one. So MGM making hay on those two big bets. The one on the Seahawks, one on the Rams. Those didn't go the bettor's way. How was your weekend, Matt? It was a good weekend betting-wise? College and pro?
I didn't do a whole lot of betting. Oh, I played some poker.
Did you have that go?
It was a decent weekend of poker. I came out ahead. Not by a whole lot, but
very nice.
Came out ahead. It's better than losing.
It is. It is better than losing. Saturday was a windfall for me on college football. That went very well. Yesterday looked to be very good as well until the Rams and the Eagles happened. Let's put that in context real quick, and we'll get to these games again as we guess Week 16 lines. But just to put some context into the Eagles' outright win over the Rams last night, they win it 30-23. Warren Sharp tweeting this last night. The Eagles, just the second team in the last 30 years to be a dog of over 13 points and hold a 17-plus point lead entering the fourth quarter. Philly was up 30-13 through three quarters. Here's another one that he put up. The Eagles are just the eighth team in the last 30 years to win as a road dog of over 13 points versus a team with a 800-plus win rate from week five onward. Well, he parsed that one out nicely. Rams were 11-2, 84.6%, so the Eagles qualify there. And then Mark Lawrence, who's on with Mitch and Paulie very often, he tweeted that the 14-point underdog Eagles, did they get to 14? That was news to me, but I guess they might have touched that in some places. The 14-point underdog Eagles are taking more points from the Rams last night than any defending Super Bowl champion has since 1980. The previous high was in 1995 when San Francisco was a 13.5-point underdog against Dallas. Niners ended up winning that game 38-20, much like the Eagles won the game last night. So just an amazing outcome last night after a day where it was awfully... It was really about the home teams yesterday, up and down the schedule. Only the Redskins, Titans, and then Eagles win on the road. And this gets back to my biggest thing with the NFL right now. And I just mentioned it with Mitch and Paulie. This is the biggest thing to me because we talk about it in baseball all the time. Home road splits, we're very comfortable with it in baseball. We talk about pitchers and how they perform differently in their home ballparks versus elsewhere. Sometimes it's, by the way, to the good at home. Sometimes it's to the bad, depending on their skill set and the dimensions and the characteristics of that ballpark. And if you say, well, we always know that home teams, the teams play better at home by and large than they do on the road. Not like this year. Patriots 6-0 at home, 3-5 on the road. And we'll put that 3-5 in context coming up for the Patriots. Dolphins now 6-1 at home, 1-6 on the road. Just up and down the list, there's these just stark differences. Cowboys 6-1 at home, 2-5 on the road. Bears 7-1 at home, 3-3 on the road. Packers 5-1-1 at home, 0-7 straight up on the road. Panthers, we'll see what happens tonight. Home game for them. 5-1 at home, 1-6 on the road. Even the Niners 4-3 at home, 0-7 on the road. Even the Bucks 4-3 at home, 1-6 on the road. And so I guess what I'm saying is, again, when we're doing handicapping, we fill up all these hours of content talking about all different kinds of things. But really, every game should start with the topic sentence, who's playing at home? It's that simple sometimes. And the NFL this year, it's massively simple like that. And we saw that play out again yesterday. Vinny is here for week 16. Good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Gil.
How are you?
What do you say, buddy?
I'll tell you what I say. You know what my three outrage games were last week? Let's harken back to last guessing lines.
Go ahead.
The three games I was outraged by.
Outraged.
Outraged. Not like Paulie level outrage, but like Gil level outrage. Cleveland plus three, because, you know, he does outrage well for 3 hours.
He's good.
He's good at outrage.
He's good at outraging.
I say that with respect. Cleveland plus 3.5 was what it was last when we talked about that Saturday game this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was Cleveland 3.5, and I was like, that's ridiculous. And you said, grab the hook. Grab it now, Gil, and you're right. Cleveland ended up being just a 1.5-point dog in the end.
Correct.
And won it outright 17-16. We'll talk about this game in depth coming up. So I was outraged about that, and I was right to be outraged. I was also right to be outraged about the fact that we didn't have a line for the Steelers and Patriots, and I said the Steelers should be favored, and you said don't be surprised if the Patriots are favored. And the Patriots were. Open at 1, got all the way to 2.5.
There were some threes briefly in some spots.
Were there really?
Yes.
Steelers end up winning it by a touchdown 17-10.
Mm-hmm.
So correct I was to be outraged by those two. You know which one I was not correct to be outraged by, as it turns out?
Which one?
The Dolphins, who at the time of guessing lines last week, I couldn't believe they were more than a touchdown of a dog. At least they made the Vikings have to win this game twice. Because the Vikings stormed out to a 21-0 lead. And I was like, boy, was I wrong about this. Then it was 21-17. I'm like, see what a genius I am? And then it was 41-17 again. So that one didn't play. And the Dolphins, terrible on the road, as I just mentioned, but at least I thought they would cover that. So right on two of those.
Did you bet all of them?
I'll tell you what I did yesterday. First of all, Saturday was the greatest betting day I've ever had in my entire existence on Earth. So then I came into Sunday.
Okay.
And Sunday was really, really good also.
In the morning.
Colts.
Good.
Colts was good. Titans was good. Vikings on a tease was good. I mean, it was all over the place. Everything was working out again. Steelers was great in the afternoon. And I was like, wow. Oh, my God. It's going to continue
easy.
All weekend.
It's easy.
And then I had the Rams and a tease. That didn't work.
What's your takeaway from that game?
We were just talking about this earlier. There's no great team in the NFL this year. There's
Correct.
No team without mm-hmm. flaws. And Jared Goff, I've said it now for a couple weeks with him. He melted in what was not even that cold of a weather in Chicago. Looked like he didn't want to be there from the beginning. I was like, dude, it's not like 30 below.
Bears' defense was more of a factor than the weather.
It was a factor for sure.
In fact, I think the Bears' defense was such a factor that he was still beat up yesterday.
Explain that. You still beat up yesterday?
Goff was still feeling the effects of.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Like to see him care. I would like to see some passion. There's not another quarterback in this league. Let me not say that.
Joe Flacco.
There's not one of any repute. Yeah, Joe Flacco, right? The Joe Flacco face. He's the only other one, like this apathetic face. But Jared Goff, show me you care at least. Like, that bothers me. But the Rams were beyond Jared Goff. They were poorly coached last night. They're not mm-hmm. getting out of bounds. Everett did it on consecutive drives. Again, I mentioned Todd Gurley did. Todd Gurley took responsibility for it afterwards. That's coaching.
Game management was very bad. It's interesting, too, considering Goff's going out of bounds in earlier games this season. Or
laying down,
unique times.
Yeah.
Or going to the ground.
Yeah.
For sure, Gil, yeah, it's...
And the Eagles are legit in it. That's the other take.
Well, yeah, they're alive now, right? And there's a big game between them and the Texans next week, which we'll get to. So
I do think you have to ask yourself also. Now, Nick Foles, Super Bowl champion, right? We haven't talked about it all year. Mm-hmm. We've taken the Eagles, you know, we've already laid them to rest. Nick Foles comes in there, and it's like all those memories come back. And you're like, oh, my God, it's happening again. They need help to get in.
Pretty cool customer.
But unlike the Redskins at 7-7, they have a legit shot.
Yeah, they're in a better position, certainly, than the Redskins. I mean, they need help. You know, they got some games. It's like a lot of teams, Gil. There's some games that just haunt them, haunting teams now. They wish they had back, or they had a chance to win, or were leading, and they didn't finish. And now, but look, That's a big, it's a big win for the Eagles last night, psychologically as well. So,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty good spot.
But the home road splits, that to me is the big headline in all this. Tonight, Panthers hosting the Saints. All kinds of implications for this one as well. The Saints can clinch the number one seed with a win tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
This is up to six now. And the Panthers need a win to stay in this. If the Panthers win, they will go to 7-7, and they will be a half game out of the final wild card playoff spot currently held by the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC at 7-6-1. Panthers lose, and pretty much you can forget about it. But they win, and they're right in it again, along with the Eagles and Redskins, Redskins in quotes, at 7-7. I don't mean to disparage the Redskins, but let's be honest. Again, I'll say what I said moments ago. Has there ever been a team that's only a half game out of a playoff spot with two games left that has had less of a realistic chance than the Washington Redskins do in the history of the league?
Gil,
probably not.
Gil, you sound like a Redskins fan.
Just, well, and by the way, good for the Redskins winning that game last night, yesterday.
Credit them.
Credit them.
With all their injuries.
I love you, Washington Redskins.
Shows you
I hate
now.
You, Daniel Snyder. Sorry.
Teams battle.
All right.
Teams continue to battle, buddy. That's a factor.
They do. There's no tanking in the NFL.
That's right.
As the Niners showed yesterday. Although the Jaguars kind of tank-ish. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's start with the Thursday night game. We'll get to all the comments from yesterday. We're not even close to starting with this stuff. Thursday, what you got?
Let's see. What do we have for Gil on Thursday? Let me get my...
It's as if you didn't know you were going to do the show this morning with this.
No, I haven't. Well, actually,
I don't believe there is a Thursday.
No, we go
oh,
Saturday.
No Thursday game.
That's why
Saturday.
There's two Saturdays.
Two Saturdays.
What they did? Yeah.
That's right. We're
so
done with
original
Thursday.
Yeah, no Thursday this week, which we love. Actually,
we do love.
We've got bowl season here, but two games on Saturday. The first one.
Yes.
Guess who it is?
Oh, it is
your beloved.
Right? Yeah, I remember.
Washington that. Redskins in Tennessee to play the Titans.
Washington at Tennessee.
Speaking of alive.
Yes, Tennessee very much alive, right?
Yes.
Tennessee's 8-6. So Tennessee right now would be tied for the number two playoff position, at least record-wise. We won't get into tiebreakers. But along with the Colts and the Ravens, all three of those teams at 8-6 right now in the number two wildcard position. Mm-hmm. It should be noted also, though, of course, with the Titans that... the Texans are two games ahead in the AFC South, so that hasn't been clinched, but for all intents and purposes, might be over. Titans yesterday, they go into New York again. The Redskins and the Titans, two of the three teams yesterday that won on the road. Titans blank the Giants 17-0, and they do it with Marcus Mariota throwing for 88 yards.
It was more of a running back's day yesterday, wasn't it?
It really was. Well, this one was in a driving rainstorm. Mariota was 12 of 20 for 88 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked just once. Derrick Henry
picks up right where he left off.
Right where he left off. This time a career high 33 carries for Henry, following up his 200 plus yard performance with 170 and two touchdowns yesterday. His 408 yards. So he had 238 the week before. His 408 yards over the last two games are the best in the Titans era. Don't forget, though, the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. Ran for more than that in two games when he was with the Houston Oilers back in the day. The Tyler Rose. Earl Campbell with that jersey sticking out. Titans had the ball for 35 minutes and 21 seconds of that game yesterday, by the way. Third straight win for the Titans. First shutout in 18 years since Christmas Day 2000.
They went to... they were bet heavily yesterday, by the way. The Titans. Remember this game where the Giants... So now, once Beckham was announced that he was out, the Titans wound up closing as two-point favorites yesterday.
And the Giants were favorites earlier.
Open the week, yeah.
Titans have allowed 9 points in their last two games.
Mm-hmm. Very well.
They limited Saquon.
Defense, yeah.
Yeah, limited Saquon to 31 yards on 14 carries. Titans offense, 42 carries, 216 yards. And the Skins, as we talked about, Skins go into Jacksonville. And Josh Johnson is 16 of 25 for 151, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times. The Redskins' fourth starting quarterback in as many weeks. Sorry.
Break up the Redskins.
Fourth starting quarterback in as many weeks. Let's list them. Smith McCoy, Sanchez Johnson. But the Redskins go in as 7-point dogs, and they beat the Jaguars 16-13. A lot of help there on a tipped ball that landed in Jamison Crowder's hands. That allowed the Redskins to sustain a game-tying drive. They later got a pick from Fabian Moreau, kicked the game-winning field goal, 16-13, Redskins over the Jaguars. Josh Johnson, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. Josh Johnson played Madden NFL 19 last week to learn his new teammates' names. That's a true story. But he led the Skins on those two scoring drives at the end of the fourth quarter. They beat Jacksonville. First victory of Josh Johnson's pro career. He had been 0-5 as a starter. First for the Redskins in terms of just victory since Alex Smith broke his right leg last month. By the way, Alex Smith out of the hospital finally had infections in the leg, so we wish him the best.
Good.
6-yard touchdown, though, from Josh Johnson to Jeremy Sprinkle. With 5:47 remaining, tie the game. Got the ball back with the pick, as I mentioned, and then Dustin Hopkins, 38-yard field goal, drilled it. Skins win, and their four-game losing streak. The Skins are 7-7. They're mathematically alive. They're only a half game out of a playoff spot in the wild card race, but forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tennessee buddy. By 10.
Tennessee by 10 it is. And again, as I say these numbers, these are the openers here at the South Point. Just put in the system. Chris Andrews on the phone. Mm-hmm. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello, Chrissy.
And Supervisor Lou Vargin. Typing them right in, buddy.
Chrissy, Vinny, and Lou. So it was 10? 10 on the button.
10 on the button, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Skins, mm-hmm. the Skins have no shot. They were lucky to win that game yesterday, and they've got no shot.
It was the Jags. All right, you got one more Saturday, and then we'll go to...
Let's do that. Okay. I'm sorry.
Two Saturdays. Well, I'm just trying to help.
No, you're perfect. All right, you're perfect. Please, you steer the ship. I don't know what I'm doing.
Hey, I'm looking behind the glass over here. I'm picking up my third base coach. Ravens in Los Angeles to play the Chargers.
Oh, good game.
There's a good playoff game.
It really is.
Of sorts, right?
It really is. Boy, here's the deal on this.
There's a takeaway from that Chargers-Chiefs game, right? One confirmation, Chiefs defense is, especially their secondary, is not good, right? Realize that?
Not good.
Especially with considering Philip Rivers, and this is not a knock on him, but his style is just—he's, you know where he is, right? He's not mobile, not particularly mobile. He's straight back and his placement of those passes
is incredible.
Just terrific. So
I said it Friday. I said this should be Philip Rivers Appreciation Day.
Absolutely.
His whole career, he gets knocked down, it gets right back up like it just sloughs him off. Never gets hurt. Gutsy, plays every game.
Very gutty win by the players and coaching staff on the Chargers. And the other takeaway from that game, obviously, is that the Chargers are never out of a game.
Never. Right? They're the one team. I joked.
Turnovers plagued them the first half, first three quarters.
Yes. Right? I joked with my buddy when they were down 14-0. I was like, they got the Chiefs right where they want them.
Mm.
They were minus two in turnovers in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers never gets hurt. He never quarterback sneaks. It's the funniest thing with his career. He shot puts the ball. Puts it that pass to Travis Benjamin to convert that 4th-and-8. Could have frozen the screen. He could have walked up to him. Couldn't have placed it any better. I've been saying I'm grabbing Chargers futures tickets. The Chargers right now, that Seahawks loss to the Niners yesterday was a sneaky good thing for the Chargers. Because now the Seahawks got to play.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Chiefs this coming week.
So tied record-wise with the Chiefs, except the Chiefs hold the tiebreaker. They split it with each other, right?
That's right.
Both won
better division record.
But it's the division.
Better division record currently. So they do need the Chiefs to lose to the Chargers to win the division. But now, let me just say this. If there's one team where home field doesn't matter, or for which it might not matter, it would be the Chargers, who in essence... just kind of feel, comfortable everywhere. They play in StubHub Center. By the way, here's a little quirk. If the Chargers get home games in the playoffs, whether it's as a division winner, well, they won't. Or there's a way to get a home game as a wild card, but not likely. It will no longer be called StubHub Center. Did you know this?
You're changing it, right?
Yeah.
Right there.
Oh. Dignity Health Sports Park.
Yeah. It's not Charger Stadium, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mike Williams showing up that game against the Chiefs as well. 7 catches, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns. Phillip Rivers, 26 of 38 in that game for 313. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 5 times. 407 total yards of offense for the Chargers. Come from behind win over the Chiefs on Thursday.
Keenan Allen had to leave the game.
Well,
to remember
so
that
that's
too.
The real question about right. this game. Will Keenan Allen be ready to go? He's got a hip pointer, the old hip pointer. And will Melvin Gordon be ready to go?
Good court, yeah. Eckler, I mean, Eckler was out last week as well, right? Mm-hmm. So both backs. But, yeah, this is going to be a good game. Yes. 5:20 Pacific on Saturday, Gil.
Absolutely.
The Ravens are in, a dogfight as well. I mean, right now they're one of the they're a wild card team, right?
They are. Yeah, they're in a tie with the Titans and the Colts at 8-6 for the number 2 wild card position. But it should be noted the Ravens only a half game out of the division lead.
Correct.
In the AFC North as well. Yep. And yesterday the Ravens got it done with a 20-12 win over Tampa Bay, and Lamar Jackson, who is now the starter in Baltimore, 4-1 as the Ravens starting quarterback. He was 14 of 23 for 131, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. But he also, of course, gets it done with his legs. 18 carries, 95 yards. Chargers by 4.5.
Chargers, 4.5.
Oh.
Bingo. Look at you. All right, buddy.
Of course, that doesn't make it bettable, but got both of those. All right, so those are the two Saturday games?
Those are the two Saturday games. Again, no Thursday game this week for the in the NFL.
Okay. Let's take a break. Let's do Sunday games. Guessing lines for Week 16. It's our last Guessing Lines show of the year because we don't do Week 17.
We don't do Week 17.
Too squirrely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I don't think I'm here on Monday. There's that, too. Yeah. Well,
Christmas Eve.
Yeah. We you know what? We don't do a Megapod. I don't be beating the book Megapod. I don't do Guessing Lines because Week 17 is just... On Monday, you don't even know half the lines. You don't even post half the lines.
Well, yeah,
that's the problem. All right, we'll continue. Sunday games, Week 16. Try to extract some value right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Gil Alexander, SiriusXM Channel 204. Vinny Magliulo in for Chrissy Andrews, or as Chrissy calls him, Vinny Maiolio.
It is the Greek pronunciation, you know.
Maiolio. last thing on Lamar Jackson before we get off that Ravens-Chargers game. Lamar Jackson averaging 5.3 yards per rush yesterday. He directed, once again, this is a big theme with Lamar Jackson, 2 drives that lasted more than 7 minutes before closing out the game with a drive that consumed the final 7:08.
Is Joe Flacco in Baltimore next year?
No. I don't believe so.
No,
think about all these teams that need.
I would be inclined to agree with you.
Yeah, all these teams that need quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
including your Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. But like, there's lots of teams that could use a quarterback. So I wonder where Joe Flacco and his apathetic expression ends up.
Is John Harbaugh? And
he may have saved his job. Lamar Jackson may have saved his job.
Fair, yeah,
yeah.
Especially if they make the playoffs, right?
Jackson has rushed for 427 yards in 5 games now. Ravens, 242 yards on the ground yesterday on 49 attempts. Again, someone named Gus Edwards going for 19 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown.
Someone named Gus Edwards.
That's our joke about Gus Edwards. Where do you go? Rutgers, we found out. Baltimore, first team since the 76 Steelers to rush for at least 190 yards in 5 straight games.
All right.
Curiously, that according to the Ravens. They were 9 of 16 on third downs. That's the other thing with Lamar Jackson, third downs. All right, we'll move on.
First game Sunday.
Yes, sir.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Dallas to play the Cowboys.
Tampa Bay. What did Tampa Bay do yesterday? Who'd they lose to?
They lost to the Ravens.
That's right. They lost to the Ravens, 20-12. We just talked about that. Mike Evans filled up a stat sheet again, though. 4 catches, 121 yards. That loss, by the way, eliminating Tampa Bay from playoff contention. All you people who still held out hope for Tampa Bay getting the postseason.
Buccaneer future tickets, souvenirs.
That's right.
Tax write-offs.
They're at Dallas. Now, Dallas got shut out by the Colts 23-0.
By the way, it was the Colts' defense that was a major factor yesterday.
Major factor.
Goal line stand.
For those of us who had the Colts, you know, one of my big things why I had the Colts is, again, you have to handicap the Dallas Cowboys as if they're two entirely different football teams. when they're at home and the refs are looking the other way when the Cowboys do horrible things to the opponent? Sorry, Cowboys fans, but you know it's true. And when they're on the road and they don't get that kind of benefit. Just two different teams.
It hurts.
Dallas will be back in... Oh, sorry about that. Matt Jones is a Cowboys fan, by the way. They put a Cowboys fan and a Redskin fan together. I don't know if this
Dallas
is going to
work. Dallas native.
I don't know
producers,
if this is going to work.
Is your mic on?
I don't know if this is going to work.
Just... producers... got the, I don't know. Maybe people can't hear you, buddy. your mic might not be on.
And when he's talking about the Cowboys, we just shut him off. Just put him on mute.
That's right. He has that power.
There's no Redskin information emanating from your show, Gil.
We talked about the Dallas home road splits. So Dallas is along those lines then. Dallas has to be favored here over the Bucks.
Yes.
And they're going to be favored by 6.
7.
All right. That'll work.
Full touchdown. Touchdown and an extra point. Converted extra point.
I said this earlier in the year for those who are paying close attention, and people do pay very close attention, so I appreciate that. It's always great when you hear people say, I remember when you said that, and then you're like, oh yeah, I think I did say that, when it's good or bad. But one of the things I said earlier in the year, DeSean Jackson, who was tremendous in Philly, tremendous in D.C., and I said earlier when Ryan Fitzpatrick went out of the lineup, I said, watch how DeSean Jackson's career crumbles when Jameis Winston is behind center. And it happened. Mm. He just, like, Jameis Winston is the only quarterback in DeSean Jackson's career who cannot seem to make use of him.
Speaking of saving jobs.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to make the playoffs, obviously, the Buccaneers. But
I don't know if Dirk Cutter's going to make it. I don't know.
How about?
Jason Garrett's going to make it.
What about Jameis Winston?
I don't know. I think he may be elsewhere. Mm. That's a possibility, right? Too.
Yeah.
Derek Carr, Jameis Winston. Will those franchises trade him?
Derek Carr is, I think he's staying. I think he.
You're very protective of the Raiders, Vinny. I know you are.
No, well, look at, they gave him that deal before the season, traded Khalil Mack. I mean, by the way, yes, Derek Carr's been a better quarterback. Better field, Jeff. Forget, yesterday I saw, even as they were battling yesterday, and we talked about this last week,
yep,
since that blow-up,
yep,
on the sideline between him and John Gruden,
yeah,
he's been better, Gil.
You're right about that.
I mean,
I disagree with you on the change of culture, but you're right about that.
No, I think the culture's changing there let me put it this way.
Yeah.
John Gruden is establishing his culture, which is... work hard and battle. Compete. You disagree?
I think the culture changed from a culture of good players to bad players.
They're rebuilding, let's face it.
But they're only rebuilding because they sucked. Like, that wasn't their plan. Well, like, they were like grabbing free agents at the offseason, and then they're like, all right, we'll... I just don't... You can't tell me that this was their plan from the beginning.
No, I'm not saying... But clearly it's their direction now, and it has been since, the first month? I mean... John Gruden is putting his signature on this franchise.
Oh, he's doing that.
So, yeah.
Oh, he's doing that, all right.
Not saying it's going to be universally popular, but that is a fact.
Anyway, I said in the offseason, I'm like, listen, I don't know why they're paying him this money because, again, as a guy who saw Joe Gibbs leave the game for 13-plus mm-hmm. years,
okay,
who was 10 times the coach John Gruden was, even he had trouble coming back and figuring out the modern game for a while.
Fair enough.
And then the counter to that is, oh, well, John Gruden was in film rooms with quarterbacks the whole time. Joe Gibbs was off doing NASCAR. I never bought into that. But anyway, you said it's Dallas 7. How did we get on the Raiders again?
I don't know.
How did we get to the Raiders?
Jameis Winston to
Derek Carr. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So here, let's do another game.
Wait, so I said 6 and you said it's 7. Dallas minus 7 over 10.
That is correct.
Okay. That's
fair. Here at the South.
All right, let's
opening
do another
7.
One. Let's do another one.
Bills
mm-hmm.
at the Patriots.
Bills beat the Lions,
yeah,
for their 5th win of the year. Remember when? What were we talking? Or didn't somebody put up a prop like, "Will the Bills even win a game this year?" At one point,
yeah, I think it was going into that that Vikings game, right?
Yeah, and then they
wound up beating the Vikings badly.
Still a bigger upset than last night's game was.
Yeah, what was that? 17?
Yeah, 16.5.
16.5.
There were two games that were bigger upsets than yesterday. There was the Bills over the Vikings, and then that Cardinals win at Green Bay
mm-hmm.
was a bigger upset than last night's game among games this year.
Still, last night, given its ramifications
absolutely.
And the position in the season,
absolutely
right.
So Buffalo's 5-9 now as they beat the Lions 14-13. Robert Foster, 4 catches, 108 yards and a touchdown. Josh Allen, big 2-yard leap to convert a 4th-and-1 with 1:47 remaining in that game. Hit Foster in stride for a 42-yard go-ahead touchdown with 10:26 remaining before that. Bills hung on, largely because of that Allen conversion, to eliminate the Lions from playoff contention. They're out of it too, Vinny. Can we review, by the way?
Sure?
Yeah. Are you sure? That's awesome. Are you sure?
It's week 16.
I think I'm sure. 13 teams have been eliminated now. 7 yesterday. We just might as well list them. Broncos, Falcons, Lions, Giants, Bucks, Packers, Bengals. Hasta luego. Back to the Bills. 4-5 now and 9 starts with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So along with Herm Edwards, head coach of ASU, and I know they lost to Fresno State, but we all owe Herm Edwards an apology, and we all owe Josh Allen an apology. Because we were sort of snickering about both these guys. Oh, how can the ASU hire Herm Edwards? And Josh Allen, he's going to be, come on. And look at him. You know what? Besides Baker Mayfield, he might be the best of the rookie quarterbacks.
He's having a pretty solid season.
Did it
as a rookie.
Yeah, did it yesterday without LeSean McCoy, Vinny. Did it yesterday without Chris Ivory. McCoy with a left hamstring.
Came
Ivory
from behind.
What's that? Yeah, came from behind.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Ivory had a shoulder injury. He was inactive. Mm-hmm. And then Marcus Murphy didn't return after dislocating his left elbow in the second quarter. So he had nobody behind him either. And then there's the Patriots who lost to the Steelers.
What's your takeaway from that game yesterday? Credit the Steelers for finally solving the Patriots.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Vinny. Couple things. One, people who cited the Tomlin versus Belichick sample size stats shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And I think that this Patriots team, I've been saying Gronk is donezo. Like we'll never see the same Gronk again. Yesterday, 2 catches. And I think by and large, you see the Patriots doing things that we're not used to seeing them do. For instance, 14 penalties yesterday, Vinny, for 106 yards.
Yeah.
14 penalties.
Big penalty on that last drive as well, right? A false start was a
huge
big penalty. Not very Brady-esque, though, either, right?
He said he was trying to throw that ball away that Hayden picked off. He said he was trying to throw that away. Still not Brady-esque, to your point.
Mm-hmm. Credit the Steelers. Big, it was an absolute must-win for them. And
it was a bad spot, though, also for New England, Vinny. It was their 4th road game in 5 weeks.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I get that, Gil. But they also had the front end of their schedule was very home field friendly, right? You know, I mean, there's times during the course of these seasons where teams know that going in. So, I mean, you know, there are teams that have had worse. Look at both Green Bay and Minnesota having to go to Seattle and New England in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
four road games in 5 weeks is bad no matter what.
I get it.
It was the revenge game, right, for Pittsburgh from the Jesse James game last year.
From the Jesse James game, from the playoff game.
You name the game.
Right?
That's right.
Several. It was cubed?
That's right. But the home road split thing is real. New England finishes the season. They finish the season away from Gillette Stadium at 3-5 straight up. That's the first time the Patriots have had a losing record on the road since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
A win would have given them their 10th straight AFC East title. They still may get there, probably will, but wasn't yesterday. And that jump ball to Gronkowski deep in Pittsburgh territory midway through the 4th quarter that was picked off by cornerback Joe Hayden. Brady later said, I was trying to throw it away. Then to your point, Patriots had it 2nd-5 at the Pittsburgh 11 with 37 seconds to go when right guard Shaq Mason was hit with the holding penalty that pushed the ball back to the Pittsburgh 21. Mm-hmm. The Patriots would get no closer. New England at home against Buffalo. All that said, this has got to be more than 10. I'll say 10 and a hook.
12.5.
All right.
They'll be in every teaser next week, that I can tell you.
Yeah. 12.5 makes sense. I'm okay with that.
All right. Falcons and Panthers. Now, bear in mind, Panthers obviously play tonight.
Yeah.
Another home game for the Panthers here.
Yes. So, sight unseen on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Sight unseen on the Panthers. Falcons. And we'll just do this one and we'll go to break here, Vinny. Falcons. Okay. Tevin Coleman yesterday. They crushed the Cardinals, by the way. Crushed them. Mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman, 11 carries, 145 yards and a touchdown. Julio Jones, 6 catches, 82 yards and a touchdown. 435 total yards of offense for the Falcons. Acrobatic touchdown cast from Julio in the 40-14 win over the Cardinals. Falcons were 9.5-point favorites in that one. Deion Jones with a pick six for an early score. Cardinals are terrible. Falcons played their final home game of the season, forced 3 turnovers, sacked Josh Rosen and Mike
Lennon.
The game
did hit 10 at one point yesterday.
It did.
Yes,
it got to 9.5 close.
Point. Yep.
Falcons with 7 sacks of Rosen and Glennon yesterday.
Mm.
Single season game high for high for both teams, sacking and getting sacked. Falcons, as we mentioned, mathematically eliminated. This to me could be anywhere based on the performance tonight, Vinny. Could be anywhere between Carolina -3, Carolina -6.
Yeah, you're right. If they win tonight, it'll be closer to 3.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
yeah, that to me is very volatile based on result tonight.
But we did post it.
All right.
So okay.
Nothing outrageous yet. Guessing lines, Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy Andrews. It's what we do, tribute to the old Stardust show right here on A Numbers Game, Monday mornings at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Off air, doing Wilford Brimley imitations for you, Vinny.
Great.
Maybe your spouse has diabetes. Just killing Vinny back here. Just trying to see if Vinny... Just trying to make Vinny laugh. That's all I try to do in between.
Turn around and Rich Little guy.
apparently, I have Sam Panayotovich's mic here.
Yeah.
Does he know that his mic is still in the studio?
I don't know, but...
There's no way he knows.
I think we should hold it hostage now. Hold it for ransom.
He walks around with this thing. You guys know that, right?
It's attached to him all the time.
He walks around South Point with it.
I'm stunned.
Down
that
at
it's
the
here.
Long bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I knew it sounded a little different.
I've seen him hanging out by the pool with it.
Yeah, that's... Yes.
Full clothing at the lounge chair while everybody else is sunbathing. Yeah. Sam's out there going, "I'm Sam Panayotovich."
He's just talking into the mic. There's no show going on.
I'm Windy City Sam, and you're not.
I'm Windy City Sam, and you're not.
The Sultan of the South Side.
That's our tribute to Windy City Sam. All right, let's do one more here, baby.
Here we go. Jaguars to play the Dolphins in Miami.
So
Battle of Florida.
Full disclosure here, when Mitch and Paulie did In Pocket, they had this as a pick. So I was told that this was Miami -4.5. Can I tell you something? I'm incredulous about that.
You what?
The word is incredulous.
Did you say that or did that come out of Sam's mic?
That might have been Sam's mic. I have Miami -7 hosting Jacksonville. And I'll tell you why. Cody Kessler yesterday against the Redskins, 9 of 17 for 57 yards. No touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 6 times. He did carry the ball 6 times for 68 yards. He's directed 1 touchdown drive in his last 31 possessions. You listening to this, Vinny?
I'm listening. I'm listening. You made it 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
They told me it was 4.5.
That's correct. It is 4.5.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, there's your first. Definitely, that's a play for you.
Jacksonville, when you factor in the sacks, they had 20 passing yards. They were -2 in turnovers yesterday. They've dropped 9 of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doug Marrone, you're on the clock. So are you, Tom Coughlin.
This is a home-road split, too, right, Gil, with the Dolphins, you're thinking?
Dolphins home-road split. Mm-hmm. Big-time home-road split, as we talked mm-hmm. about. The Jags now have double-digit losses for the 7th time in the last 8 years. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, double-digit losses in their record. Yeah, they're 4-10 now. Mm. So double-digit losses for the 7th time in the last 8 years. So think about the anomaly that was last year. They were in the AFC Championship and probably should have won the AFC yes. Championship. They were up in the fourth quarter against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally the 1 year in the last 8 that they haven't had double-digit losses. That's incredible. And Leonard Fournette, we talk about how there's no tanking in the NFL. Leonard Fournette touched the ball just once in the second half. And this was actually predetermined by the Jaguars, where they said, hey, we're gonna look at some of the young guys. And you mean to tell me the Dolphins, who mathematically are still alive, are only 4.5-point favorites in that game? You got to be kidding me.
I'm very serious, my friend.
Give me the Dolphins right now.
You want the Dolphins. All right, you've got the Dolphins.
Because, again, the Dolphins are two totally different teams. Tannehill, 11 of 24 for 108 yesterday. He was sacked 9 times by the Vikings. Kalen Ballage, 12 carries, 123 yards, and a touchdown for the Dolphins. But again, the Dolphins made the Vikings beat them twice yesterday. They were down 21-0. The Dolphins were down 21-0, and the Vikings had the ball. And it looked like the Dolphins didn't even want to be there. And then Kirk Cousins did what Kirk Cousins do, as Jalen Ramsey would say. Pick six.
Last couple, a few weeks, though, would you say, when you agree with that, the Jaguars' defense has been better? Offense is not good.
I believe it was my mother who once said, you know, Gilly, better schmetter. I just don't think they're any good.
All right.
Dolphins shouldn't be 4.5-point favorite.
Okay.
Seven.
All right.
Chrissy's texting us. He's got something to say about what I'm saying, I'm sure. He's like, don't be an idiot, Gil. Let's see what he says. Let's see what Chrissy says. Live texting. No context there. I'll have to revisit that in a minute. All right.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. That's a big difference. But again, the Dolphins, they trail 21-0. Then it was 21-17. Then they lose to the Vikings 41-17. So you got a 4.5. I got the Dolphins by 7. That's crazy to me.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to break.
All
right. Let's do another one. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN. More with Vinny in for Chrissy.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on a numbers game here at VSiN. Vinny, last couple things about the Dolphins you said are 4.5-point favorites over Jacksonville, and I'm just absolutely incredulous, to use that word again. I think it should be Miami minus 7. But the last couple things about this game, when it got to 21-17, after that point yesterday with the Dolphins and the Vikings, on the next five Dolphins possessions, they netted, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Five possessions, they netted minus 27 yards on 16 plays.
Wow.
A lot of sacks in there. Just the Dolphins' fifth loss in their last 17 games that Tannehill started. And Miami gave up 30-plus points for a sixth game this season and 400-plus yards for the ninth time this year. So again, home-road split, feast or famine. The Dolphins, two different football teams.
Yes.
All right, next. What do we got?
Giants in Indy to play the Colts.
Giants, 10 penalties, 58 yards, and their shutout loss to the Titans. First time New York blanked since Christmas Eve last year. New York only losing for the second time in six games since the bye week. And they have now missed, New York Giants fans, you have now missed the playoffs two straight years and have made it once since the 2012 season. Wow. Odell Beckham Jr. missing his second straight game with a quad problem yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and went they were a dog at kickoff yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Started as a favorite, were a dog at kickoff.
Yep.
And the Colts blank the Cowboys, as we mentioned. Marlon Mack.
23-0.
23-0. What is nil?
Nil.
What is nil?
Zero.
Famous. It's a famous Chrissy Andrews story. What is nil? It's a great story. Story time classic. Marlon Mack for the Colts yesterday. 27 carries, 139 yards, two touchdowns. And the Colts continued their third down prowess on offense under Frank Reich. 8 of 12 on third downs. What is the commonality? What is the common thread between this year's Colts and last year's Eagles? Both third down juggernauts on offense. Frank Reich, the author of the greatest comeback in both college and pro football history. University of Maryland, Buffalo Bills. Colts minus 10, hosting the Giants.
9.5.
Good. Yeah.
You'll probably get there.
Yeah.
Probably see 10.
And everybody who thinks
that'll be teased heavily.
Heavily. And everybody these last couple weeks are like, oh, the Giants. Like, okay, stop. Stop already.
Yeah, it's, man, oh, man. You wonder what kind of changes there are going to be with the Giants in the offseason, right?
Listen, you know, I'm on the Giants side with the whole Saquon thing, though. Because everybody is like, you know, the only way you get better is with a better quarterback is a quarterback league.
I thought he was good. Hey, listen, this kid's good.
Everyone was, you know, but there was a lot of people who just don't think you draft a running back that high. But you know what? Saquon might be generational.
Look.
Just like Khalil Mack was generational, Vinny, and still is. Just want to point that out. Sorry. I notice you also don't like when I say don't bring a baseball team to Vegas. I get you upset when I say stuff like that.
No, it doesn't get me upset. It's just, I want, you know, bring a baseball team, you need a dome. You need a dome stadium.
You need people. You need people to fill it anyway.
Right? I mean.
I just don't. Anyway. So it is 10? No, you said 9.5.
9.5 opened here at the South Point.
Yeah. These all make sense to me except for that Dolphins-Jags. Except that Dolphins-Jags is wrong.
Okay.
Give me the Dolphins. All right. guessing line. So we have one so far. One so far that one appears so far. That appears.
Patriots, you're good with 12. We used 12 and a half. You said 10
yeah,
and a half.
Yeah.
All right.
Not crazy.
You want to get to the counter for the Dolphins here?
Yeah, we got a break right here. We're going to get to the rest of the schedule. We got a whole bunch more games to get to here.
Yep.
Trying to isolate value. We got one, maybe more to come. Remember last week I was outraged by three. Two ended up proving to be correct. One, not so much. Not so much. It is a funny league. And someone was saying to me, you made all that money on Saturday, but on meaningless bowl games. And I said to him, I go, you keep saying that. I'd rather bet those than this Palinko sport,
sure.
The NFL.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you got to be kidding me with this sport.
And it's not like you blew it all back yesterday.
That's right. Did not do
discipline.
That. Coming back with Vinny and for Chrissy on Guessing Lines right here on VSiN.
Support for today's show is always brought to you by Bookmaker.eu. As you know, for years, I did not have a sponsor on this podcast, not because people didn't approach me, because I really didn't believe in any of them. But Bookmaker.eu is the real deal. I've been using them for years and swear by them. Couldn't do my business without them. They're an industry leader for close to 30 years. Professional players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, take the highest limits, and pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. Just think about those three things. Take the highest limits, pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player, first to post odds. What a rare, the rarest of commodities in this day and age. Bookmaker, high-volume sportsbook, best suited for the sophisticated player who understands sports betting. Large recreational players are catered to as well. And their motto, where the lines originate, is the case because chances are your sportsbook follows their line. And once again, as we've been doing all season long, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, visit them now. You can join and claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. That's bookmaker.eu/GILL. Gil, that's me, to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. Check it out, bookmaker.eu/Gil.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo TV. I get it all again, Matt? Yeah.
Fubo.
All right. I got it. I got Fubo in there. It's Gil Alexander. Matt Jones is here. What's up, Mateo?
Hello.
Mateo. We're calling him Mateo, Vinny.
Mateo?
Mateo.
That's it.
Vinny is in for it.
From Georgie Bueno to Mateo.
Georgie Bueno to Mateo.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I don't know if he'll turn your mic on yet, but.
Georgie Bueno, as we say, moved on to work with an up-and-comer by the name of Musburger in the afternoons.
Yep. I'm still trying to pass that audition. Georgie runs a tight ship.
He runs it. Rules with an iron fist, ooh, that kid.
I tell you.
We're guessing lines for week 16 in the NFL. It is our final guessing line show of the year. We do not do a week 17 guessing line show because it is squirrely. And by the time when we get on the air Monday morning, the truth is that half the lines typically are not available the Monday morning of the final week because playoff implications exist for some teams. They don't for others. You don't know who's playing, who's not. Just a squirrely week. I don't do a mega pot either that week.
We're starting to see that even. There'll be a couple instances this week, too. In fact, we'll get to a game. Chris Andrews just chatted with him off air. By the way, shout out to Chris. He's listening and doing a great job. And
what did he say
to
you?
It's an honor to be in this.
Big shoes to fill.
Doing this
big shoes. People should know if they're tuning in, they're like, what's it, Chris? Chrissy's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just has his treatments during this show.
Correct. Yeah. He's at the house right now as we speak, listening. And of course, he phoned in the openers to mm-hmm. Lou Vargin behind the counter. And I was chatting with Lou back there, and Chrissy was on the line. So,
and tell everybody what Chrissy said to you.
Chrissy said, good show. Good show so far.
And then what did he say?
Well, then he paused and said, don't tell Gil I said so. But then he laughed, which meant tell Gil. So I'm telling you.
All right. We want to give Chrissy a tribute here coming up because
yes.
there's a betting vehicle mm-hmm. that he invented
yes.
that we don't say often enough that he invented that I want to talk about next segment. We'll
show the folks an example.
Of it. By getting the card, Vinny's like, we'll send someone out there to get one.
We'll send, yeah.
That's Vinny.
I'm busy. I'm in here with you.
Yeah.
You won't let me. Matt Jones won't. Mateo won't let me leave.
Won't let you leave.
No, you're stuck. You're stuck.
Let's do another game here. A lot of games to get to week 16.
All right, buddy. Here we go. Texans-Eagles.
Good game now.
Yes. Means something, doesn't it?
The Texans, who currently have the number 2 position in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again, the AFC. So if playoffs were to start today, I love that exercise, they'd have a bye with the Texans. The Texans started out 0-3 and are now 10-4. And if you recall, Vinny, year one, Brent asked me after the Patriots-Falcons, give me the Super Bowl value plan. I said Eagles 30-1.
You did?
Bingo, bango. Then next year, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl last that day, right after that game, he said, what's your pick for next year? I said, Houston 20-1. Best value play. But again, pre-flop futures are terrible. No, well, not enough bang for your buck. But anyway, just to point that out.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. So now Philly's at 7-7. Philly's a half game out of the second wild card position. The Vikings are 7-6-1. And
huge,
the Eagles,
psychological boost last
week. Huge. Right. And we put that victory in context with the Mark Lawrence tweet, the Warren Sharp tweet earlier, in case you missed it. But it is the third biggest upset of the season. But in terms of Super Bowl champions being involved, it's monster, historically. And the Eagles, now with Nick Foles, the magic that is Nick Foles, beat the Rams last night 30-23. They do so outright as 13.5-point favorites. Only the Bills win over the Vikings, and the Cardinals win over the Packers were bigger upsets this season. Deshaun Watson on Saturday for the Texans. Let's start there. He was 22 of 28 against the Jets for 294. Two touchdowns, no picks. But you know, Vinny, he was sacked six times. Jets, and if you watch him play, he holds on to the ball way too long.
You would think by now that he wouldn't. But, you know, credit to Jets, although that game, the result of that game, too, went that field goal at the end. That game fell 7. Good for the – much better for the bettors than
– Yes. And the Jets missed two extra points in that game.
Did. Yes.
Let me just say this about the Texans once again. This is a season where they Jedi mind-tricked Frank Reich in overtime. Frank Reich going for it in his own territory, failing. Texans had to get one first down, and they kicked a winning field goal. They Jedi mind-tricked Jason Garrett, who – punted in Texans territory in overtime. Texans ended up winning. They Jedi mind tricked Vance Joseph at the end of the first half against Denver. Vance Joseph did some squirrely coaching things. Bill O'Brien ends up with a field goal instead of the Broncos. That was the margin of victory in that game. It goes on and on. Pick six against Buffalo, a game they had no business winning late. What am I forgetting? There's others. The Jets missing two extra points. Stuff goes the Texans' way.
I don't know if they're going to Jedi Nick Foles.
No.
Pretty cool customer.
By the way, the Texans against the Jets, just 1 of 9 on third downs.
Yeah.
But DeAndre Hopkins was everything. Ridiculous. 10 catches, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, including that 14-yarder with 2:15 left that gave the Texans, or lifted them, really, their 29-22 victory. You're right. There was a
best receiver in the league. It's right there.
Right there. What a catch he made. Ugh. Morris Claiborne was all over him. What a catch. And then, as you point out, Cammy Fairbairn, 40-yard field goal, fifth kick of the game, made it 29-22 with 54 seconds left. Lamar Miller left that game with an ankle injury in the second quarter, didn't return. But Bill O'Brien didn't think, quote, it's major, unquote. Nick Foles yesterday against the Rams, 24 of 31 for 270, no touchdowns, one pick, sacked zero times. They never got close to Foles last night.
They did not. Good point, Gil.
Foles hadn't played since week 2. Carson Wentz out with a back injury that could sideline him for the rest of the season. You got to figure, at this point, what do you do if he's like, well, it's a vertebrae,
it's
for
a
God's sake.
I think,
yeah.
I mean, from a look, most important safety, obviously, you know, it's his future, it's his life.
Yeah.
I would say he's done.
Doug Peterson, Philadelphia head coach, declining to say whether Foles would start next week against Houston, but you'd have to figure he would. Alshon Jeffrey yesterday was everywhere, 8 catches for 160 yards. But yeah, like, I had the vertebrae thing, and I'm complaining about my arm for like 3 weeks on the show. You want him to play professional football? It's a vertebrae, right, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Houston by 3 at Philly. That's my guess.
Houston by 3?
Yes.
Even after last night?
Yes.
Pick 'em.
Wow. That's all it took was one game.
Look at the Eagles' vibe after that game. They are they're alive here, Gil.
This is
in Philly. It'll be raucous. This will be a good game. This will be a good test for the Texans. We'll find out if that Jedi
Jedi mind trick?
Mind tricking is going to continue here.
Eagles.
Get a dose of it here in Philadelphia.
And let me just say this once again. The Eagles and the Redskins are both 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
They're both a game out of the lead in the NFC East. They're both a half game out of the final wild card position. The Redskins have zero chance for either. The Eagles are very much in the wild card race. The Eagles really don't have a shot, I mean, realistically speaking, at the NFC East title because they'd have to win out.
Right.
Cowboys would have to lose out, and the Cowboys have a pretty easy schedule here down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles do not have an easy schedule, but the Eagles very much into the wild card position.
Yes.
They're very much in the wild card possibility, in that picture.
In the equation, right?
So that's a pick 'em, huh?
Pick 'em.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Next.
Vikings in Detroit to play the Lions.
Speaking of the team that holds the number two wild card position, it is the Vikings at 7-6-1. At Detroit, lost, as we mentioned, to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook yesterday for the Vikings, 19 carries, season high 19 carries for a career high 136 yards, two touchdowns. The Vikings outgained the Dolphins' total yards, 418 to 193, in passing yards, 198 to 37. That's with all the sacks factored in. And a team season high 40 rushing attempts for the Vikings. That, of course, precipitated by Mike Zimmer telling new interim offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski, hey, the other guy that I just fired, DeFilippo, yeah, he didn't run the ball enough. And so Stefanski got on it, and that's what happened. Anthony Barr, Danielle Hunter, each had two of the nine sacks of Ryan Tannehill, totaling 71 lost yards for the Dolphins. And the Vikings could clinch the second wild card spot next week. Got to win this one, though.
Have to win it.
As part of that.
Right.
They needed only 19 plays at the beginning of that game yesterday, the Vikings, keeping the ball on the ground 12 times to go to a 21-0 lead. 19 plays up 21-0. And as I said, they had to win that game twice because then Kirk Cousins threw the pick six because that's what Kirk Cousins does.
You've said that.
Yeah, I've said that a couple times. I've said that a couple times. Bitter Redskin fan talking. And it got to 21-17.
It's amazing how every game has a Redskin reference.
That's not true. Just the Kirk Cousins ones, Vinny. Just the Kirk Cousins ones. 202 yards, by the way. The Vikings gained the highest first quarter total in the NFL this season. 202 yards of offense. Detroit, no need to get into it. Kenny Golladay had a good game, though. Seven catches, 146 yards. Minnesota by 4.5 on the road.
5.5. Minnesota.
Sounds about right.
5.5. There you go. All right.
Let's do one more.
Here's an interesting game. Packers-Jets. Packers.
Is that interesting?
At MetLife to play the Jets. Yeah, I'll tell you why it's interesting when we get further along in a conversation.
Oh, this might have something to do with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So, yeah.
He says he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to play.
Right.
Should he play? The Packers are eliminated. They're 5-8-1.
Mm-hmm.
Jets are 4-10. By the way, for those of us who were early on the Jets on the over, we got the Jets at 5 on a season win total. Mm-hmm. So these games have implications.
Yes, they do.
Devontae Adams, not Devontae Swing from Jodeci. Devontae Adams, 8 catches, 119 yards for the Packers in their loss to the Bears. But that loss, coupled with Minnesota's win over Miami, knocks the Packers out of the postseason for the second year in a row. 24-14 with 6:43 remaining. Mm-hmm. The Packers drove to the 9, but on third down, Eddie Jackson picked off Rodgers on the deflection, ending his consecutive passes streak with no picks at 402 passes. And the Packers home road splits, we talked about it, 0-7 on the road with their ninth straight loss away from home. Their 8-game win streak at Soldier Field also snapping. Aaron Jones left the game with a knee injury in the first quarter, did not return. Jets, as we mentioned on Saturday, lost to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam Darnold, can I say this when you watch that game? There's two things. Deshaun Watson held the ball too long, and Sam Darnold looked unafraid of that Texans defense. He looked very confident
in that game. Pretty fearless. I mean, again, for a rookie battle, I mean, he said, look, I'm there. I'm the future. I'm going to continue to battle, learn as I go. Sometimes the lessons are painful for both fans and bettors.
That's right.
But
they were 9 of 17 on third downs, were the Jets in that game.
Yeah.
Darnold, 24 of 38 for 253. Touchdown passes to Robbie Anderson, Andre Roberts. And as I mentioned, Jason Meyer missing two extra points. If it's Rodgers, then the Packers are favored by 2.5. Mm-hmm. If it's not Rodgers and it's Hundley, then the Jets are favored by 3.
Yeah, here's the thing, Gil, and that was actually the main reason Chris called. Was because so the Packers did open as 2-point favorites. So, but the fact of the matter is the Jets are now 2, and that's by not on air, as we say. This is a play.
So
play
Jets are favored by 2.
Jets are 2 because
the speculation is no Rodgers.
Strong opinion.
Yeah.
This is not the public betting. This is respected opinions that believe he's not going to play at least at this point. So the Jets are now 2. So. I mean, you're spot on. I mean, if he plays, they're favored. If he doesn't, then
makes sense.
The Jets. Yeah. So
that makes total sense.
Uh-huh.
And for those of us again who have Jets tickets, we obviously want Rodgers not to play.
Sure.
But now is the speculation on Rodgers not playing, is that because your leg is still hurt, or is that because you're a sour puss and you don't want to be here, so just go? Or is it a combination of both that's going to be under the guise?
I think
of
it's
your
a precaution. I think when you look at the season, let's face it, he got hurt in that first game of the season.
He did.
Against the Bears.
It's the Bears.
Right?
That's right.
And then
miraculously showed up in the second half.
Got carted off at halftime, and then.
Remember, we didn't know if he was going to play in the second half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it would have been a completely different number at halftime in that game. But fact of the matter is, he did. He's been hurt all year. And. Why would you? What do you really need to play him? I mean, I get it. He's supposed to say, "Look, I'm the leader of the team. Yeah, I want to play." Of course, he does. But you got to really think about, risking further injury.
He missed passes yesterday. He's been missing passes all year.
He's not right. 100%, right?
We want to blame stuff on McCarthy. He has not had a good year.
Credit his willingness to compete. But at some point too, if it's affecting the efficiency and the performance, then maybe it's time to just say, look, you know what?
So the sentiment out there is that he will not play that.
Right, at least at this point.
At least on the market.
Again,
price.
This is not the general public weighing in at this point.
Yeah.
So
how many more games do we have, Vinny?
We've got 5 on Sunday and 1 and the Monday night game.
5 on Sunday and Monday night. All right. Well, let's take a break here. Let's come back.
All right.
Let's do the rest of them. So a few really good games with playoff implications that we've already talked about. Obviously, Houston at Philadelphia being one of those games.
Ravens-Chargers
on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There are some clunkers out there for sure, too. But we'll see if there's a couple more that are playoff that involve two contending playoff teams. But those are good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the one that outrages me the most is, again, the Dolphins should be way higher of a favorite against the Jaguars, and then you had Houston and Philly as a pick'em, and I had Houston as a 3-point favorite. I think your number is probably better than mine, clearly. All right, we'll do more. Go ahead, say what you wanted to.
No, Gil. I think you should. That's the exercise,
Gil,
right?
Our number is better than yours.
No, that's what, just to remind us, that's the exercise.
It is the exercise.
We make our numbers, post numbers.
Yeah.
Professionals like yourself
do
the same, and you make numbers and you compare them, and that's where you find value.
No,
perceive value. You're
100%. That's why we do this. And I think your number is in the retrospect. I think your number is better in that game, and I think my number is better than the Miami game.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think. We'll do more of these. 6 more games to go, including 2 primetime games. Week 16 in the NFL. It's getting good. Coming up on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game here at VSiN. It is the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204. It's Gil Alexander. Matt Jones is here. Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy Andrews. Did we get that card yet or no? We didn't get that yet? No, we didn't do that? Okay.
This is in transit.
In transit. Okay.
In transit.
We wanted a visual aid.
Yes.
Does the visual aid really help on this?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about something that Chrissy invented and offered. Chrissy Andrews, for those who don't know, has invented many things that we now take for granted. One of which is the three-team 10-point tees. Didn't exist before young Chrissy Andrews said, hey, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to
put three teams together and make it a 10-point teaser.
Yep.
Available everywhere these days.
He did not invent the Greek classic Musaka.
He did not.
I just want you to know that.
Does he take
He's
credit?
Laughing, right?
Does he
He's
take
saying,
credit for that?
Said, where, what is the hell is my you take talking credit about now? But they did not. So I'm just saying. All right.
You know what? Lombardi tweeted something yesterday that I take credit for. Michael Lombardi, our friend, tweeted, clearly Cooper Kupp is the league's MVP. That's right out of me saying that to him a couple times on the show. That's my joke about Cooper Kupp. Clearly, the way the Rams are playing, Cooper Kupp has to be the MVP, right?
I think Michael Lombardi will say that Mitchell Trubisky is now the what's the price of that?
You think I shoehorn the Redskins into everything? Lombardi shoehorns a Trubisky conversation into everything. He's like,
he does.
That reminds me of how bad Mitchell Trubisky is. Love Lombardi.
He does a great job.
Oh, and my conversations with him are awesome. I look forward to those more than
love
anything.
Love his insights, you know, from the
Chrissy invented Musica, huh?
That's what he said, but I don't.
Baklava, tzatziki. We'll get to something else that Chrissy invented coming up on the show. Let's do one more here.
Here we go.
Let's do a couple more.
Bengals-Browns.
Oh, God. Bengals are out of it. 6-8.
Right.
Joe Mixon fills up a stat sheet, though, doesn't he? 27 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. In the Bengals win over your Raiders, Vinny. 30-16 win. Ended one of their longest losing streaks, the Bengals, that is, under coach Marvin Lewis, and that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
They cover as 3-point favorites, but again, eliminated from the playoffs for the third straight season. Bengals had dropped 5 straight. That was their third worst slump during Lewis's 16 seasons. Bengals' first win since October. Here's how bad it is in Cincinnati. They distributed, Vinny, 44,568 tickets for its final home game. And the Bengals ended up with the second smallest season attendance in Paul Brown Stadium's 19 seasons.
Wow.
The Steelers' win over the Patriots later ended their minuscule chances of winning the AFC North as well. Cleveland, as we mentioned, they won on Saturday. They beat the Broncos 17-16. We haven't talked about this game really in depth yet. A coaching tour de force of crapitude from Vance Joseph at the end.
Wow.
Tour de force of crapitude. As he elects to kick a field goal late in that game instead of going for it on 4th-and-1.
And
had no corners.
75,000 coaches in the stands were incredulous.
Incredulous, to use that word again.
All right.
Nick Chubb for the Browns, 20 carries, 100 yards, including right after that choice to go for a field goal, a 40-yard scamper on the first play of the ensuing drive, which drove it home for the Browns. Still, the Browns made a decision late in that game to go for it on 4th-and-1, which I actually like that they went for it. Up 1 point. I like that they went for it. May not like the play call, but I like that they went for it. 11 straight times Denver had beaten Cleveland. A lot of streaks broken in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah. And the Brownies alive.
Brownies alive, 6-7-1.
Long shot chance here. I will tell you this about the Browns. They will be certainly one of, if not the most popular team in this offseason. So, in other words, futures, folks will be anxious to bet their regular season wins. Mm-hmm. Just like a year ago with San Francisco, right, with Jimmy Garoppolo going there and having that great run at the end of the year. But there's going to be a lot of interest in the Browns, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a team on the rise and up and coming.
I think Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns was the greatest Hard Knocks ever this past offseason. It was so great. The lack of respect angle that Todd Haley and Greg Williams appeared to have for Hugh Jackson. The fact that they had Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield backing him up.
Mm-hmm.
The Antonio Callaway sort of rookie angle. Antonio Callaway with the 2-yard touchdown catch from Baker Mayfield with just under 12 minutes left, providing the winning margin. Browns still have a shot at their first winning season since 2007, even their first playoff berth, as you say, Vinny, since 2002, thanks to their first win over Denver since 1990. Vance Joseph, when taken to task and when asked about his decision to kick a field goal with 4:35 left to make the score 17-16 as opposed to going for first down and a chance at a touchdown after that, quote, I wanted points there. We had about 4:35 left. We had one timeout and the 2-minute warning. I trust our defense to get a stop there, unquote.
But I don't trust our offense to score.
Right.
There you go.
That's the cloud bubble over his head. That's the thought bubble. As I mentioned, Nick Chubb reels off the 40-yard run on the first play after that. We can't let that happen, Von Miller said. But the Broncos did come up with a big stop on 4th-and-1 from the Denver 10 when Cleveland's interim coach Greg Williams went for it and Chubb was dropped for a 2-yard loss by Adam Gotsis. Williams said, Greg Williams, when asked about that play, quote, "We came up here to win a ball game." That's what they all say, by the way. They all say the same thing. Coach speak. We came up here to win.
Nobody says we came up here to lose.
We get it. We get it. You came up here to win. Right, I got it. I don't think anybody's worried about me not being aggressive, and we came up here to win it. Offensively, we're going to win it right there. He said we're going to win it 3 times there.
I thought Wilford Brimley was back.
No, no, that's diabetes.
Sorry.
Just, all I have to do to make Vinny laugh is say that. Well, Wilford Brimley used to have an infomercial about diabetes. You remember that, don't you?
I do,
don't
buddy. You? That was excellent.
Not a little. All right, so wait, I have to guess a line, right?
Yeah, you got to know. What
Cleveland
are the, what
Cleveland
are the Browns
by a touchdown.
At home?
Cleveland by a touchdown.
Yeah. Here we open at 6.5. Full disclosure, Gil, it is now at 7.
7 was my number.
So,
yep.
And let's remember this. When I'm giving these openers here at the South Point, these are in the system for betting.
Yeah.
But they're not just for
we're not just
sake
making
of the
them
show.
Up. Right, they're
so,
in there.
Browns open 6.5, and as we speak here at the South Point.
That's right.
We sit at as 7-point favorites.
When Chrissy was here, we used to post them right after the show, but
yeah.
You and Chrissy put them up at the beginning
well, Chrissy,
of the show now.
Yep. You know, they're in the system, and I love his call on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Rams in Arizona to play the Cardinals.
Rams were once 11-1 atop the football world.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 11-3, and after tonight, they may know that home field will not be theirs throughout the playoffs. The Saints can clinch it.
What's interesting is, even if the Saints lose tonight, let's remember that
they still
have that head-to-head tiebreaker with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So
and home field is everything.
Well, again, and we've talked about this, Gil. Who do you give a better chance to win at the other place?
Oh, I said this last
right?
week.
Yeah. So do you give the Saints a better chance to win in Los Angeles?
Yes, absolutely.
Compared to the Rams in New Orleans. Again,
100%.
Right? So it's obviously the Saints. So huge, huge game. But as you mentioned,
if you had to pick a Super Bowl right now, who do you think's in the Super Bowl, Vinny? Very simple question.
Well, I think here's how I would answer that, Gil, in our world, right? So if you're sitting there saying, well, to meet in the Super Bowl, you think about the futures, you think about possible props and things. I mean, obviously the Saints are the NFC favorite right now, but question marks there, right? I mean, good luck picking it. And, man, I'll tell you what, putting record aside, but performance lately, I think you got to look at the Chargers.
Thank you. Saints and the Chargers. Saints and the Superchargers.
For the reasons we talked about at the beginning,
yeah,
the Chargers are just never out. They're always dangerous. And again, they're never out of a game.
Never out of a game.
You know, so.
Phillip Rivers Appreciation Week.
Now, that could change. Again, we've still got a ways to go. And that's not saying that, look, that's who I think is going to be. But when you look at the landscape and the results of the last couple of weeks and scenarios, I think those two right now are probably there.
Everybody's flawed, that's for sure.
Sure, definitely, yeah.
Who are the Rams playing again here?
The Rams are in Arizona to play the Cardinals.
Should we start with the Cardinals? Cardinals lose to the Falcons and lose in a big way.
Yes.
Josh Rosen, 13 of 22 for 132, no touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 6 times.
The Cardinals have scored the fewest points, right, in the league, if I'm not mistaken?
Yesterday?
No.
Or for the season?
Season.
We'll effort that.
They're the lowest scoring team.
We'll effort that. I believe that's true. Mike Glennon in relief, 10 of 14 for 111, 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked once. 60 total rushing yards for the Cardinals yesterday. They were -3 in turnovers. They've dropped 2 straight, 5 of 6 under Steve Wilks, who, I don't know, if there's a first-year coach who might be in trouble, maybe it's him.
Mm.
Arizona's run defense allowed 215 yards to the NFL's worst rushing attack yesterday. Offensive line's battered for the Cardinals, though, I will say that. Josh Rosen finished with a 38.4 passer rating. That's at a 158.3. All bad. And then the Rams last night, as we've talked about. Jared Goff, 35 of 54 for 339, but no touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked once. Todd Gurley, 12 carries, 48 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10 receptions, 76 yards. But, as I mentioned, both Everett and Gurley. Everett on consecutive drives, Gurley not going out of bounds.
Yeah.
and Gurley didn't do it on a catch inside the final 20 seconds, that probably took away two additional shots at the end zone for the Rams.
Good point. We talked about Todd Gurley being the cerebral Todd Gurley a month ago, but not yesterday.
Brain fart, I guess they call that. They were -2 in turnovers versus Philly. They lose consecutive regular season games for the first time under coach Sean McVay. The Eagles scored 17 straight points in the third quarter. Remember, it was 13-13 at halftime.
Yes, yes.
And then they survived the Rams' late rally. Jake Elliott missed the field goal. By the way, that's the other thing that'll get swept under the carpet. What was Doug Peterson doing attempting a 52-yard field goal with 1:08 left in that game?
Well, you talk about...
What was he doing?
You talk about coaching decisions all year. I mean, go back to last year, but every coaching decision last year seemed to work out for the Eagles, right, with Doug Peterson. But,
yeah. I could not believe it.
I don't disagree.
Take the penalty, punt it away. Like, what are you doing? If it's 52, that's not a gimme by any stretch.
Shows, but illustrates even more how flawed or really inconsistent. Certainly, the Rams couldn't take advantage of it overall. At the end of the day, they did, right?
They almost did, but they didn't.
But they didn't.
Yeah. Jared Goff got the Rams to the Philadelphia 18-yard line with 4 seconds to play. Mm-hmm. Again, could have been more seconds, but nobody was getting out of bounds, and he couldn't connect with Josh Reynolds on the final pass as time expired. Rams first lost the Coliseum in 7 games this season. They do still control their own destiny for a first-round playoff bye.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's a game behind them in that race. Rams are 11-3. The Bears are 10-4. Bears winning the NFC North yesterday. Three straight pedestrian performances since that epic 54-51 Monday night win over Kansas City and the ensuing bye week. All that said, Rams on the road against Arizona, Rams by 10.
13.5.
Yeah, I was going to say I was way low. As soon as that 10 came out of my mouth, I'm like, there's no way it's 10.
By the way, Vinny was correct. Arizona, 192 points, fewest in the league.
There you go. 192 points in 14 games.
There you go. Rams, 13.5. Won't stop the... Yesterday will not stop the teaser train.
No, yesterday will not stop the teaser train.
Okay.
How many more we got here? Four more?
We've got three more on Sunday and then one on Monday.
Three more on Sunday still?
Yes.
All right.
Bears, Niners.
Oh, well, let's do the two day games anyway here.
No?
Bears, two day games, and there's one primetime Sunday, one primetime.
Yeah.
So let's leave the primetime for next segment, but let's do the day game.
Okay. Yeah. Bears, Niners.
Bears, Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Bears win the NFC North. They clinch it with the win over the Packers.
Did you not believe me it was the Bears Niners?
I did. Okay. Did I sound like I didn't believe? I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't hear it.
It sound like that.
Matt, right? Matt, I mean, you see?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what
you spend every Monday morning with the guy you know a little bit about. You know the little guilt.
I don't believe you, Vinny. I don't believe the Bears are playing the Niners.
Not believe you, Dustin. I don't even think they're playing each other, Vinny. How about that?
So I'm not even going to guess a line. Because I think you're lying to me.
All right. Well.
Bears of the Niners. I believe that's what you said.
I
Bears with their first playoff appearance since 2010. Now, that team won the NFC North as well. The Bears had dropped 9 of 10 against Green Bay. There's another sort of like, you know, again, all these short-term streaks everybody likes to talk about.
Yeah.
But the Bears secured their first trip to the playoffs in 8 years with their 7th win in 8 games. I just contradicted myself then. It says secured first playoff appearance since 2010 team won the NFC North. And then it says first trip to the playoffs in 8 years with their 7th win in 8 games. So which is it? I have conflicting details there. Sorry about that. For a team that, let's check, did they win the NFC North in 2010? Let's check on it. For a team that came into the season with 4 straight last place finishes, it's quite a turnaround for them. Matt Nagy, obviously the new coach, they trade for Khalil Mack and everything changed on that.
Bears did win in 2010.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. 15 of the past 16 seasons. Now, listen to this stat for the NFL. 15 of the past 16 seasons, with at least one NFL team finishing in first place in its division the season after finishing in last or tied for last. 15 of 16 seasons, worst to first. Again, there's only 4 teams in these divisions.
Sure.
But 15 of 16 is pretty interesting.
Okay, yeah.
And then the Niners beat in the same situation. The Niners at home against a playoff-bound team in the Seahawks. The Niners beat the Seahawks outright yesterday. As 3.5-point dogs, Nick Mullins, 20 of 29 for 275, 1 touchdown, no pick, sacked 3 times, had just lost 2 weeks ago to the Seahawks by 27 points, 43-16.
Yeah.
Robbie Gould, game-winning kick, 36-yarder, 3:06 left in OT, went to overtime yesterday. Three straight stops against Russell Wilson. Seahawks had a 10-game winning streak against the Niners. That gets snapped. Winning streaks everywhere, head-to-head, snapped all over the place yesterday.
There were a lot of stats, you know, the yep. old, the reverse smooch where if it was flashed, the opposite happened, right?
So I'm telling you,
all weekend long.
All these short-term, like small sample size things that people talk about, over, especially over years when it's not even the same things, mean nothing.
This was interesting yesterday. So the Seahawks, when they opened last week, they were 5.5. It got bet down to 3.5 even at one point, and then it got bet all the way back up yesterday.
Well, so this is precisely how I'll guess this line, right? Because it's sort of similar in the fact, again, Seattle at San Francisco, playoff bound, we think, with Seattle. Chicago playoff bound, now at San Francisco. And Chicago still trying to get that bye. They still have a shot at the bye as they look up at the Rams. So I'll say it's the Bears minus 4.5. If Seattle closed at 3.5, I'll say the Bears minus 4.5.
3.5 right now. What it'll go up before it comes down.
Yeah. Okay.
So probably get to your number, Gil.
Thank you.
Yes.
I still don't believe you that they're playing.
they are playing each other, by the way.
I'm just kidding.
They really are. That's a real
game. I didn't mean to sound that. Did I sound that way? I didn't believe him? I didn't mean that at all.
All right. I'm telling you the truth. The next game, it's the Steelers in New Orleans to play the Saints. Now, the Saints obviously play tonight.
Good game.
So,
yes.
Good game here.
Saints will be in the number one position either way, no matter what happens tonight. But if they win tonight, they clinch it.
They lock it up.
So if they clinch it, that means they got nothing to play for next week.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I
mean,
correct.
In terms of, well, it's yeah, but I don't think you'll have a situation where, let's say, they win tonight, you won't see Drew Brees at all next week. You know, things like that, right?
Wait, by the way, I'm wrong.
Wait,
about
I don't know
that.
If they're
wrong
I don't know if
that.
I think they have to win next
yeah, yeah,
week
I'm wrong
too,
about
right?
That. Yeah, because there's two games
because
left.
There's two. This is week 16.
I'm wrong about
I don't
that.
Think
I'm completely wrong about that. That's right. So they can't clinch it.
You're previewing. You're actually saying this is why we're not doing guessing lines.
That's right.
Next week.
I'm somehow right that the fact that we're not doing guessing lines, like there's no games that week. No, I'm completely wrong.
But
about
I think
that. So. They can't clinch it tonight. They can't clinch the number one position.
I think they can clinch a tie.
They
or it.
No. Right. They're still even with a win tonight. They'd still only be a game ahead of the Rams.
A game ahead with
two games left.
So it's
not clinched. So this game will matter no matter what to the Saints.
Yeah.
Regardless of outcome tonight, but we haven't seen the Saints play. Correct. Pittsburgh has everything to play for. They only have a half game lead over the Ravens in the NFC North. They're 8-5-1.
And the Colts are knocking.
Well, the Ravens are knocking in division.
Right.
And then, everybody else is knocking in the wild card. So the Steelers are in this weird position of we're in with the division, but we could be out of everything.
They could miss the playoffs.
They could miss the playoffs. Despite their 17-10 win over the Patriots yesterday. Jalen Samuels, 19 carries for 142 yards for the Steelers yesterday. James Conner missing his second straight game due to a sprained left ankle. Samuels forced into action and got it done. And again, with all those short-term streaks, right? Tomlin versus Belichick, he was 2-7 straight up. He was 3-6 against the spread. The Patriots in their 7 wins against Tomlin, their average margin of victory was 2 touchdowns.
Credit the Steeler defense yesterday.
Yeah.
Right, they missed that. They missed the field goal. So they made their last field goal, but the second to last attempt was off. Right, so then the Pats came all the way down, and Steelers intercepted right at the goal line. So it was a big sequence. So credit to Steelers yesterday. Really, you have to give them their due.
Yeah, despite
tough assignment here.
Despite never trailing in that game, their win. Wasn't assured until Morgan Burnett knocked down Tom Brady's heave to the end zone, intended for Edelman with 20 seconds to go. Chris Boswell, such a tough year for him. He's missed now 5 extra points and 7 field goals. He atoned, as you point out, for a 32-yard miss in the third quarter by drilling a 48-yarder with 2:30 remaining that provided the final margin. Gronk, 2 catches, 21 yards. Without seeing New Orleans tonight, I would say New Orleans is about a 6-point favorite over the Steelers, barring the unforeseen.
6.5 right now, Gil, but you're right there. Yeah, and again, tonight's game will certainly impact us, but it is up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Primetime games coming Sunday night, Monday night, next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now,
Back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Don't forget, our bowl guide is out. Get stats, trends, and analysis for every bowl game in the second annual VSiN bowl guide. It is fabulous. It is really spectacular bowl guide. It's a special digital magazine from VSiN. It's designed to improve your handicapping for the entire college football bowl season. Only 5 bowl games were played on Saturday, so that means that there are 34 more to go. Plenty of time to utilize the bowl guide here. 34 more to go before the national championship. Breaking down every single matchup. 3 sets of power ratings to help you make your own picks. Matt Eumanns, Dave Tooley offering their best bets, either sides or totals on the entire bowl lineup. It was our first special betting guide last year. We got tremendous feedback. We're doing it again. It's out. And it's priced at just $19.99. You can get it at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's the second annual VSiN Bowl Guide. I asked Eumanns, I said, hey, we all did our confidence picks. I couldn't find them when I looked through the Bowl Guide. And he said, yeah, he goes, you're not the first person to say that. They're actually not a dedicated separate list. Our confidence picks are in the bowl capsules for each individual games at the end.
Yes.
So our confidence, 1 through 10, mm-hmm. all of us put in our confidence among the 39
By the way, one
games.
Of the most popular editions of Point Spread Weekly.
Yes.
A year ago. So
it is tremendous.
Folks enjoyed it. And
it's really good.
You know, Steve Mackinnon and his team, they do a great job.
Great job. Yep. All right. Vinny is in for Chrissy. Vinny Malilo in for Chrissy Andrews. We mentioned earlier, among the other things that could, among the betting vehicles that are taken for granted today that Chris Andrews invented was the 3-team 10-point teaser. Well, there's something else he invented that I want to touch on. What is that that you have?
The reverse teaser. And the card comes out every week, the reverse teaser card. So just to give folks an idea, if you look back at last week's, the Thursday night game was the Chiefs-Chargers. And the Chiefs were 3.5-point favorites off the board. And, of course, if you were to tease them, you know, let's say you took a 7-point, you put them in a 7-point teaser, they would be plus 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the reverse teaser card, it goes the other way. They were minus 10.5.
So you make it that much more difficult.
So you make it, Now, the Chargers, instead of being 3.5-point underdogs, they were 3.5-point favorites. So you have the obviously bet both sides, and the odds are increased. You know, people, it's very popular. In fact, Chris Felica,
yes,
the Bear,
yes,
bet one last week.
He did,
and I believe he hit one.
He did.
He hit it.
He
so,
did.
Shout out to the Bear.
Shout
he's
out
here for with the.
He had a 4-teamer.
Was it a 4-teamer?
Yeah,
good for him.
So people should. So the 3-teamers are 25 to 1 here at the South Point, and the 4-teamers are 75 to 1.
Yeah. 75 to 1. Yep, 4 for 4 pays 75 for 1. So Chrissy's home right now
playing
tipping his cat to the Bear. Well
yeah.
done, Bear.
Well
and,
done.
Appreciate the promo, the business.
But reverse teasers, somewhere, they might be called pleasers elsewhere.
Some people might call them that. They might,
But that's a Chris Andrews invention.
Yeah, Chris.
And those are really good odds, 25 to 1 on 3-teamers, 75 to 1. And I should just point out that 9 different teams would have hit on reverse teasers yesterday.
Yeah.
So
Steelers
it does happen.
Steelers were minus 5.5 yesterday.
That's right.
How about that?
Steelers hit.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of teams. 9 different teams hit on the reverse teasers. And
Titans minus 4.5.
Hey, yeah.
Good. Excellent. So a lot of fun. People, Eagles were plus 3.5 last night.
Let me ask you a final question about
this,
because I know there's a limit to the amount that is taken. If someone walked up and said, hey, Vinny, could I do this for, I don't know, a little more than what you limit? Would you guys allow that or no?
Yeah, well, there's always, listen, limits are posted, right, Gil?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and on this one, it's a $2 minimum wager on this card. It's a $50 maximum, but it doesn't hurt to ask. You know,
okay.
Chris and Jimmy in particular, you come to the counter and make an inquiry.
We'll see what we can do.
They're very fair here at the South Point.
Talking about himself, he's like, they're very fair.
Well, I mean,
it's Sunday night.
Michael Gaughan taught us all. He's our mentor.
What do you got on Sunday night?
Sunday night, Chiefs in Seattle to play the Seahawks. You were mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes.
We have another matchup with teams play. Well, obviously, we did. The Steelers Saints before that.
Game.
And now the Chiefs Seahawks.
And if the
Sunday night game in Seattle.
If the Chargers win on Saturday, who are the Chargers playing again on
Saturday?
They're
at home against the Ravens.
Right.
Again, both teams in the hunt there, right?
So if the Chargers win that game, Then it's sphincter-tightening game for the Chiefs here at Seattle in what is going to be a nighttime, who knows, maybe inclement weather game. Who knows? It happens in Seattle.
One very strong home field advantage goes to another. These are two of the biggest home field advantages in the NFL.
This is why that Seahawks loss yesterday, again, for those of us who have Chargers futures tickets, that's why the Seahawks loss was so sneaky good yesterday, because now the Seahawks can't just coast in to their playoffs, but they got to play here. KC losing to the Chargers, as we mentioned on Thursday. Damian Williams filled up a stat sheet, though, in the backfield. 10 carries, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 catches for 74. The Chiefs, one of these teams that was plagued by penalties, though, 10 for 66, including some phantom ones, I admit. Seattle yesterday in a loss in defeat at San Francisco. Chris Carson, 22 carries for 119 yards and a touchdown. And what a touchdown that was. Fourth and goal. Mm-hmm. And he just looked like he was stopped, and he fought his way into the end zone. Doug Baldwin, 4 catches, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns. But speaking of penalties, you know who doesn't get enough blame or just perennially? The Seahawks.
Seahawks.
So many penalties. Yesterday, 14 for 148.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll doesn't get enough blame for that. 37 minutes of possession for the Seahawks in overtime, though, with an overtime game, so not as stark of a contrast as it would otherwise seem. Seahawks had their 4-game winning streak snapped, missed the chance to clinch the playoff berth. Wilson unable to drive or to generate any points, final 3 drives, as we mentioned earlier. The tale of 2 different kickers with the Seahawks. I just want to point this out, last thing about this game. Michael Dixon, their punter, consecutive punts downed at the San Francisco 1 and then the 2 in the first half. He's amazing. If you ever want to see the greatest game ever of a punter, watch the University of Texas' bowl game last year. See what Michael Dixon did. And then the other kicker, Sebastian Janikowski, just absolutely not having any interest in tackling Richie James Jr. on a 97-yard kickoff return.
That's how you stick around. That's how you play while you're close to 50.
You can score. It's okay. Seabass acting like he tried. I'll say KC is favored by, it's either 2.5 or 3. On the road. I'll say 2.5.
2.5. Right on.
Okay.
Chiefs, 2.5.
Good game.
Yeah.
Good Sunday night game.
And Monday night. The Broncos and the Raiders. In Oakland.
God, is that a bad game? Is that Christmas Eve?
That is Christmas Eve. Brett Musburger. In Oakland to call the game. That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brett.
Broncos, Raiders.
Christmas Eve, Denver at Oakland. Who's watching this?
There'll be plenty of people watching.
Will there?
Sure.
It's Christmas Eve.
It's Monday Night Football.
Doesn't everybody want to be around their family on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, they'll be home with their family watching the TV. Isn't
that what y'all do?
Checking their tickets.
Isn't that what y'all do on Christmas Eve?
Listen, trust me when I tell you.
Yeah.
All right? I'll be at Christmas Eve Mass.
Yeah.
And that'll be a pretty good chance.
You'll be like Homer Simpson with your
Father Jim will have an interest in this game, trust me.
Denver, 32 rushing yards against the Browns. Browns were down 5 cornerbacks. Chris Harris,
Isaac Hayes.
Brandon Langley, Jamar Taylor, Bradley Roby. They were all out in their game against the Browns. Broncos by 2.5 at Oakland.
Broncos 2.5. You're right, Gil. Okay. There you go, buddy. Right on.
Right on it. We'll review them. We'll see where we isolated value next on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Guessing Lines.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander. Broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
What'd I miss? What'd I miss, Vinny?
You got the band.
They're air guitaring the intro right there?
Yeah. It's all the coffee. Glass. Vinny did it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All the coffee everybody's drinking and all these sweetened
that's
up iced teas.
Right. Get that caffeine working, fellas.
That's right. That's beautiful. Thank you, Vinny.
There you go, buddy.
All right, let's review these. So the big one, the one that just, so all this first page is pretty much on the money here. Mm-hmm. No problem there. Let's go to the second page here. That's the one right there. Jaguars at Dolphins. You got to be kidding me that the Dolphins are only 4.5 point favorites.
Up to 5.
Headed my way.
Gil Alexander's number.
Headed my way. It's going to get to 7. I'm telling you, that number is ridiculous.
All right.
So that one's off. And Houston, Philadelphia is a pick 'em, so that was a little mildly curious to me after one game.
Okay.
Rams 13.5, not 10. I get it. Mm-hmm. All the others pretty much in pocket.
Right there, yeah.
So it was the Dolphins and the Jaguars. That was the one that really leapt off the screen. Vinny in for Chrissy. Vinny, no more guessing lines. Thank you so much for filling in most of the season.
And great to be with you on behalf of my buddy, your buddy, Chris Andrews.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.